Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The wisest thing any woman can do or any man can do is to seek to fulfill the call of God upon their life in the designated role that He has designed for them to function in. Instead of aspiring to something that God has not ordained for you, seek to be fruitful where God has ordained you.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, in a message titled, Paul's Fellow Workers and Friends in Rome. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
But this couple was near and dear to the Apostle Paul, and they were a dynamic ministry team. Do you remember the man named Apollos that we find in the book of Acts? The 18th chapter of the book of Acts, we're introduced to Apollos. And it says regarding Apollos that he was a man who was mighty in the scriptures. He was an Alexandrian Jew. He was mighty in the scriptures and he was testifying about the Lord, but he only knew the baptism of John. And these two heard Apollos preaching. And they recognized that his understanding was limited, that he didn't know the full story of the gospel. So it says that they took him aside. They both took him aside and they taught him the way of God more excellently. So here's this ministry team, husband and wife, taking Apollos, whom Paul refers to as an apostle, and they are giving him a more full instruction in the faith. So you see what, you know, right there, that's a beautiful picture of a woman ministering right alongside of her husband and ministering the word. You see, some would say, oh no, women can't teach men. Well, nobody told Aquila that. And nobody told Priscilla, hey, you can't talk. This is just for men. She evidently ministered right there alongside of him. And I'm thankful that I've got my own version of Priscilla and that we get to minister alongside of each other. And I can think of many times where we've been in those kinds of situations where, you know, where God's just using us. And I'm so thankful to have the wisdom that Cheryl has and the insight and, you know, the counsel that she will give. And I will so often just sit and listen and think, man, that was the word. And, you know, it's like you're a team and you're working together. You have something to contribute and then, you know, you sort of back off a little bit and the other person steps in and ministers and, you know, it's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. That's what we had with this couple here. And so they're now in Rome. And Paul's sending greetings to them. And then he goes on here, and he says, greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard among you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Now, here's the second reference that the feminist theologians try to capitalize on. Junius, or Junia, is more than likely a woman's name. And granted that's probably the case, and probably another husband and wife team that's mentioned here. Now, Paul says they are my kinsmen, meaning that they are Jewish. He says they were his fellow prisoners, implying that they were in prison for the gospel. But notice it says, and this is the proper translation, they are well known to the apostles. They were in Christ before me. I'm reading the ESV tonight, and that is the best translation. But other translations state it just a slightly different way. It states that they were of note among the apostles. Now, those looking to build a feminist theology took that and said, look, right there, we have Junia. She was among the apostles. Junia was an apostle. And they tried to build a theology that women did in the early church hold the role of apostle. And certainly there is absolutely no reason today why a woman cannot be in that same position as a bishop or something like that. But that's not what it says. And again, you know, it doesn't do any good to try to read something into the text that isn't there and try to force yourself into a position that God hasn't ordained one to be in. But of course, this generally happens amongst those, as I mentioned earlier, who have embraced a liberal theology, which is no theology at all, essentially. And it's not so much about God and His will and what God wants to do. It's more about power and politics and things of that nature. But astoundingly to me, just this one little sentence is what they build their whole theology of women apostles on. So why am I bringing that up tonight anyway? Well, because sooner or later, if you haven't already, you're going to come across this stuff. You're going to meet people that are going to come to you and say, listen, the Bible says that women are just as much called to be apostles as men are. And as a matter of fact, there was a woman named Phoebe who, she was the authority over the Apostle Paul. If you're in the academic world, if you're in an extremely liberal environment where this kind of stuff is talked about, see, this is all the kind of stuff that goes on in the academic realm and in the sort of culturally elite realm. Religion is always there. It has its place in all of these conversations. And this is the kind of stuff that's being talked about. So you'll come across it at a certain point, no doubt. And again, you just simply can say, well, you know, that's really not what the text says. That's the rebuttal. It's just not what the text says. It doesn't say that Junia was an apostle. It says that her and Andronicus, if indeed it is a her, there is some debate about whether or not it's actually a woman. But it just simply says they were well known to the apostles. That's all it says. So they were well known to the apostles.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
And Paul says they were in Christ before I was. So they were Christians before Paul was converted. But he knows them. He's sending greetings to them. And then he goes on and he's got a number of other people here. Amplitus, my beloved in the Lord, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, my beloved. Stachys, greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman, Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Now, Aristobulus was probably the descendant of the family of Herod. That's probably who's being referred to here. And there were those in his household, just like there were those in the household of Caesar, who had become believers. And so Paul's sending greetings to these. And then he says, greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa, another reference to women, sisters, evidently, who were there serving the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. In Mark's gospel, Mark was written to the Romans, particularly. And when Mark refers to Simon from Cyrene, the man who carried the cross of Jesus, he refers to him as the father of Alexander and Rufus. So apparently this Rufus is the same as the son of Simon of Cyrene. That's what most commentators would believe. And there he is in Rome. And so again, Paul carries on greeting to these other brothers, and then down with Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. So we see that in the early church, it was just as Paul said, it was bond and free, side by side, no difference. It was male and female, side by side, no difference, serving the Lord. He commends the different women that he mentions here for working hard. And it was just this beautiful combined effort in the church. And that's the way God intends it to be. And he's given us all different kinds of gifts, and he's put up an order. There is this idea, and I think it's the right one. It's the idea of a first among equals, if you will, in leadership. So even when it comes to pastoring, even when it comes to the overseers of the church has had multiple pastors, just like we do here. We have multiple pastors. But then amongst that group of multiple pastors, and of course, depending on the size of a congregation, the more you need able men who can minister. One person cannot minister to large numbers of people, obviously. But then among that group of overseers, you have what you might call the first among the equals. They're all equal, but then there's the first. There's the one that God's given the lead. There's the one that God's given the vision. There's the one who is, you know, to a large degree, giving the direction and so forth for the church. But it's not a dictatorship. It's not just, you know, it's just this one person doing everything. It's a combined effort. That's the picture. And when it works like that, when it functions like that, in other words, it's a beautiful thing. And all of these different gifted people are contributing to it, and it's making for the health of the body. Now, some people say, well, I don't like that first among equals thing. That doesn't sound right to me. Well, think about it within the very nature of God himself. Three persons who are God, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all equal, right? But there is a first among equals, isn't there? God the Father is the first among equals. He's the first in the sense of the government. And so it is within the church. There's a governmental structure. And it's not based on, you know, this person is better than that person, or men are better than women, or women are better than men, or it's not based on any of that. It's the governmental structure that God has ordained. And it's to work in a certain way. And just as there are three persons who are God who are equal, so within the church, there is this structure. And there is the overseers, and then they're amongst the overseers, they're the first among equals. And the qualification is male leadership. But then there's, as I said, many, many things that the women can serve and do. And if you want to push it and say, I believe that women can be deacons, well, fine. Go ahead. You can believe that if you want. And you might be right. Because Phoebe was the deaconess of the church. But whether it meant the official position or just simply a way of referring to her being a servant, we don't know. But either way, it doesn't necessarily matter because they serve in that practical role. They're not in the position of the primary leadership. And so there's a variety of things that are available. And, you know, when you think about it, if a church, a congregation, you know, if it's just purely just, you know, male dominated, there's going to be some huge gaps. You know, I mean, it's like the difference between a men's retreat and a women's retreat. You know, you go to the men's retreat, there's no frills. There's nothing. You just get there. Hey, there's your bed. There's your sleeping bag. You know? Oh, what about the heating? Don't worry about the heating. You know? We don't need that. The tables aren't decorated. They don't have any nice little gifts for you or anything. You know, it's like, hey, you're a man. You know, we're roughing it here. You know? Tomorrow night, we're going to be sleeping outside, so get over it. You go to a women's retreat, and they treat you like you died and went to heaven. They give you all kinds of gifts when you get there, and the place is so beautiful, and they've got manicures and, you know, all of this kind of stuff going on. And, man, it's like going on a vacation. So, you know, thank God that He blended us together. It makes it nice. And we've learned some stuff from the gals. You know, our men's retreat, we had some pretty nice stuff there last time. We're getting a little more sensitive, a little more comfortable, and some nice snacks when you come, and you know, got the fireplace going, and all, you know, it's... So we're learning these things from each other. But it's a complementary thing. You know, speaking of the men's retreat, Ken Graves was one of our main speakers, and Ken is the most manly man of all time. I mean, he is just like a man. He's kind of like half man, half bear. You know, he's just, he just really is. And he's quite a spectacle. He's great. He's amazing. But, you know, he was teaching on Genesis, and he had this interesting theory that I'd never really heard anybody express before, but as I listened to what he said and as I thought more about it, I thought, you know, he might have an interesting point there. And it had to do with the creation of man, and then it had to do with the creation of woman. And his theory was that, you know, it tells us that on the sixth day, God created man in His own image and in His own likeness. Male and female, He created them. That happened on the sixth day. And all that happened in Genesis chapter 1, the 6 days of creation. Now, when we come to Genesis chapter 2, we have the details of the creation of woman. And what Ken said that I thought was interesting is he said, I don't think that woman was separated from man on the sixth day. But when God created man, He created man with, in a sense, with the woman in the man. And after a period of time, he argues that it was more than a 24-hour period, God brings all the animals before Adam, and He names each one of them, and then He notes that amongst all of them, there's not a helper that's suitable for him. And then his point was this. He said, now notice, when God created Eve, when we created Adam, He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, then He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. But that's not what happened with Eve. What happened with Eve? Eve was taken out of man. Adam was put to sleep. And Eve was taken out of man. And it was really interesting. The point that he was getting to was, he was saying that in God, there is this thing that corresponds to both male and female. That there is that aspect of God's nature that is very much what a man is. But then there's another aspect of God's nature that is very much what a woman is, in the sense of her sensitivity and her tenderness and her caring and all of that kind of stuff. And we do see both of those things in God himself. But he was saying that what God does is when he brings a man and a woman together in marriage, then the image is more fully manifested because you have both of those things once again combined. And I thought it was interesting. And the more I've thought about it, I thought there might be something to that theory. But all of that to say, it's a beautiful thing. So the smartest thing, the wisest thing any woman can do or any man can do is to seek to fulfill the call of God upon their life in the designated role that he has designed for them to function in. Instead of aspiring to something that God has not ordained for you, seek to be fruitful where God has ordained you to be. Now, I've been all over England and I've seen those women vicars and those would-be bishops, those ladies that want to be the bishops in the Anglican Church. And I've yet to meet a happy one. They're mad at the world. They're mad at everybody. They're upset. Well, part of the reason is because they're aspiring to something that God hasn't ordained for them. And they're fighting for it. And they're going to get it. And they're going to show that there's no man that's better than me. I'm just as good as any man. As a matter of fact, I'm better than most men. But why do that? Why not just accept what God has granted? Why not just accept and say, hey, this is what the Lord has appointed for me. This is where I'm going to be blessed. This is where I'm going to flourish. This is where I'm going to attain to my fulfillment. That certainly is the case. And so stepping into those places that God has ordained for women to serve in, husband and wives serving alongside of one another like Aquila and Priscilla, and being content to just be part of what God is doing and part of his body, that is surely the wiser position to take, the one that will lead to much happiness and true fulfillment. And so at the end here, Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now, some people say, well, why don't we do that kissing thing anymore? Well, go to Europe. They still do that. They kiss everybody. In Rome, in Italy, they still do that. It was part of their culture. We shake hands. We hug. We don't kiss.
For the month of May, Back to Basics Radio is offering a DVD collection titled Israel on Location with Chuck Smith. This DVD studies the richness of the Hebrew culture and homeland, from their feast to their covenants with God, from the Ark of the Covenant to the Temple Mount, from the wilderness to the Promised Land, as Chuck Smith tours 14 different locations in Israel. You'll be fascinated as Pastor Chuck tours the ancient city of Joppa, Caesarea, the Sea of Galilee, Bethlehem, and the sites surrounding Jerusalem, such as the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Temple Steps, the Upper Room, and the Garden Tomb. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this DVD set, Israel on Location with Chuck Smith. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Israel on Location with Chuck Smith DVD set as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.